Gopi jana valava girivara dari. Yashoda nandana vraja jana ranjana. Yamuna tira vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Kishore, Kishore Jaya, Kishore, Kishore Jaya, Kishore, Kishore Jaya, Kishore, Kishore. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya, Jaya, Prabhupada. Jai Om Vishnu Pad, Paramahamsa, Paribhajagacharya, Stotra Stotra Shri Shri Mad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Good morning, everyone. Apologize in advance if I say something that's offensive or that's not in line with our sampradaya. I didn't have so much time to prepare, and the guys and I, we were out pretty late last night celebrating Damodar Smarana, Prabhu's birthday, so I got like an hour of sleep. But we had a really fun time glorifying him. Thank you, Prabhu. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Gonna do something here, following in the footsteps of Keshava Bharati Maharaj. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a stanza of prayers that Srila Sanatan Goswami composed, which is the disciple of Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya gave He taught Sanatan Goswami the most out of all the six Goswamis. So this is called Srimad Bhagavatam Mahima Stotram, and it goes like this. Just listen, these are just prayers glorifying the Bhagavatam. Sarva Shastra Pthivi Yusha, Sarva Vedaika Satpala, Sarva O nectar from the ocean of all the scriptures, singular fruit of all the Vedas, rich mine of the precious gems of all conclusive truths, you are the only giver of sight to all the worlds. Sarva Bhagavata Prana, Srimad Bhagavatat Prabhu, Kalidwando Dita Ditya, Sri Krishna Parivartita. O life heir of all the Supreme Lord's devotees, O Master Srimad Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali. You are the exact image of Sri Krishna. Paramananda Pataya, Prema Varkshak Sharayate, Sarvada Sarvasevyaya, Sri Krishnaya Namostume. I bow down to you who are supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Sri Krishna himself. Madhika Bandho Madsangin, Madguru Man Mahadanan, Mandistaraka Madhvaya, Madananda My only friend, my constant companion, my spiritual master, my great wealth, my savior, my good fortune, my source of ecstasy, I bow down to you. Asadhu, Sadhutadayin, Atini Chotakakara, Hanamunchakadachinmam, Premnarit Kantayospura. O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and voice with pure love. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 21, text 3 to 5. Chapter is entitled The Gopis Glorify the Song of Krishna's Flute. Quite a long verse this morning. I don't know the proper meter. Is it the Brahma Samhita meter? I couldn't figure this one out. It's the Brahma Samhita meter. Okay, we'll chant responsibly. Barhipatam natav. Barhipatam natavada papukanayo karnikam. Let's see. I don't really know how this one goes. Is that the Brahma Samhita meter? Chinmasipu, do you know this one? So it goes. Cool. Is that from Hari Prasad Prabhu? I don't know those meters so well. Anyways, I'll just try my best. Paripitam natavara vapu kardano yo karnika karam. Bipradvasa kanaka kapisam vajayantim chamalam. Randharanvenur Adhara Sudhaya Purayan Gopa Vrindar. Vrindaranyam Swapara Ramanam Pravishad Gita Kartihi. Please chant. I don't want to go through it three times. I don't know it so well. I'm sorry. Shiram Natavaravapu Karna Yokarni Karam. Kanaka Kapisam Bajayantim Chamalam Gandharvinor Ataras Vitaya Vuran Gopavina Vibrad Vasakanaka Kapisam Vijayantim Chamalam Randhar Vinur Adara Sadapuran Gopavinda Vrindayanam Sapara Ramanan Pavishan Gita Kirtihi. Anybody else? Bhakti Josh was here. He would know this meter. Our Sanskrit expert. Okay, so I'm going to just read text 3 through 5. Text 3, translation. When the young ladies in the cowherd village of Vraja heard the song of Krishna's flute, which arouses the influence of Cupid, some of them privately began describing Krishna's qualities to their intimate friends. Text 4, translation. The cowherd girls began to speak about Krishna, but when they remembered his activities, O King, the power of Cupid disturbed their minds, and thus they could not speak. Text 5, translation. Wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue Karnikara flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaijayanti garland, Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories. Purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. The gopis remembered all the transcendental qualities of Krishna mentioned in this verse. Krishna's artful way of dressing and the beautiful blue flowers placed over his ears excited the gopis' romantic desires. And as he poured the nectar of his lips into his flute, they simply lost themselves in ecstatic love for him. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bisham Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Rad Kanta Namostite Tapakanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishabhanu Siti Devi Pranamami Hari Priya. Jaya Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we've begun a new chapter in our Srimad Bhagavatam class. And to prepare for this section, I read briefly the chapter in Krishna book, which is really an amazing chapter. His Holiness Keshav Bharati Maharaj and Vaisheshika Prabhu, every year they go to India for some time, and just recently they read the whole Krishna book within the matter of a few weeks, I think. And Vaisheshika Prabhu was sharing that. He said, where has this book been my whole life? It was so nice just to sit together with the devotees and read, you know, Krishna book for hours. And I know Jitendra Prabhu, he has a special affinity for Krishna book. So yeah, I was preparing just, because there's really not much given here in Srimad Bhagavatam. The purports are a bit short. But anyways, in this class I wanted to discuss three topics. The first topic is the word Vapu, which appears on the first line in the text. A lot of us, I'm sure, as advanced devotees in this assembly, we all know about Vani and Vapu. Does anyone know what the word Vani means? Instructions, right? Anyone remember what Vapu means? Right? So, of the two, the instructions, of course, is more important. And that is stressed again and again in all of Prabhupada's teachings. I was doing some searching and I just randomly found this book over at our preaching center. There's a big bookshelf and this was just laying there. And I said, wow, this is such a tiny book. There's Prabhupada on the front. It's called Vrindavan Bhajan. And simply it's just these different poems that Prabhupada wrote. But in the beginning, Prabhupada gives a brief description of his life. And really he's glorifying his Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And this book is just so nice. I just like the size of it. I've always wanted to carry around a little booklet like this. But Prabhupada, in the very beginning, there's this statement about how Vani is really the one thing that can allow the disciple to carry out the instructions of the spiritual master. And I was doing some more research, and there is a offering that Srila Prabhupada wrote to his guru. And it's kind of a common saying. I think a lot of devotees might know this one, but Prabhupada wrote to his guru saying that he lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. So simply, if we just carry out the order of our guru, we can feel close to them. And just recently, I was visiting my family, and I brought the Hare Krishna film. We could watch that together. And I was with my grandmother and grandfather, and we were sitting watching the film, which is really nice. They were appreciating that. And in the film, Prabhupada is there in New York, 1966, and he's just roaming through the streets, and it's freezing cold, and he's not used to this kind of weather. And Prabhupada was explaining, there's a really nice recording of his voice, and he said he came just like a vagabond. He really didn't have anything. And it's just so beautiful to meditate upon Prabhupada's faith and his guru's orders, and how that was this holy and solely, that was all he really had. But that's all one really, that's the only thing one needs to possess in order to fulfill the mission of Lord Chaitanya. So, yeah, Vapu, that's just service to the physical body, which can be equally important. Service to the spiritual master, no doubt, is necessary, but following their instructions can give one divine empowerment. And just to emphasize this point, Vani and Vapu, Srila Prabhupada quoted a text from the Bhagavad Gita, the fourth chapter, second text. Does anyone know that one offhand? Some shloka studies or fourth chapter, second text? Quite famous. Avam. Yoga nashta parantapa. That this science was received through the chain of disciplic succession and due time is broken and it appears to be lost. And Prabhupada was elaborating on this text that, you know, just if one simply follows in the chain, the parampara, that they can have faith in the what's been given by the masters. So yeah, I was speaking a little bit about Vani and Vapu. The next subject I wanted to speak a little bit on is the gopis, which this whole chapter is glorifying them. And we don't really hear so much about them. I myself am somewhat of a neophyte when it comes to Srila Prabhupada's books. I haven't made it all the way through the Srimad Bhagavatam yet, so I'm essentially unqualified to even speak on this book. But my authorities have suggested that I do this service, so I humbly take up the opportunity to speak. But the gopis, I'm taking a class, Bhakti Shastri class with Vrajvihari Prabhu, and he was explaining how the gopis actually, well, they were talking about service actually, and how it's the simple activities that even sometimes devotees will struggle with just doing the simple things. There's a Mataji, she was somewhat senior, but she was explaining how, you know, even still 20, 30 years later, she says that, you know, even the simple things I struggle with. And Vrajvihari Prabhu was counseling her, saying that you should not worry because the gopis, the residents of Vrindavan, they're just doing simple activities for Krishna, like picking flowers or churning butter. Very simple life. And I can just somewhat relate and appreciate that, like the village lifestyle, where things are very simple, and all of their activities are meant just to glorify Krishna. And yeah, speaking about picking flowers, which the devotees here so nicely do every day, the garlands they make are so beautiful. In today's text, there's a word on the board. Vaijayantim, which is referring to a kind of flower garland. In today's translation, it says that Vaijayanti garland. And so I wanted to research this garland, what this garland represents, and I found a little segment in the Nectar of Devotion, and I'll just read about this special type of garland that Krishna wears. Krishna used to put a Vaijayanti garland around his neck. This Vaijayanti garland is made of flowers of at least five different colors. Such a garland was always long enough to touch Krishna's knees or feet. Besides this garland of flowers, there were other kinds of flower garlands too, sometimes decorating his head, sometimes hanging around his neck and chest. Artistic paintings with sandalwood pulp and colored sandalwood were also to be found on the body of Krishna. So it's just really nice imagery. The garland sweeping down to Krishna's knees or down to his feet. And I read in some other place that the Vaijayanti garland was made of lotus flowers that never wilt. They're just always fresh. Balaram was also found wearing one of these special garlands. Yeah, and one great thing I was meditating on while going through this pastime was the mood of the gopis and the land and the residents of Vrindavan. They were all facilitating worship of Krishna. As we go through this chapter, we might hear the different personalities. Like there's trees and there's a river that offers her flowers to Krishna. But the entire, even they mentioned Govardhan Hill, the whole land itself, everything is meant for worshiping the Lord or praising Him. And I just thought this was really nice, that mood of facilitating one another's service and how we can imbibe this mood today, where we can, and amongst the society of devotees, help one another serve Srila Prabhupada and yeah, just feel satisfaction in doing so. So just a little bit about the gopis. And in this text, these texts 3 to 5, they were glorifying Krishna's activities, which are in themselves marvelous and unlimited. Pleasing to hear. I wanted to read, I'm currently studying the Nectar of Instruction, which is an amazing text. Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada. I just wanted to read the translation to text number 7. I thought it was somewhat relevant. The holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So this verse, of course, is glorifying Krishna's pastimes and activities, which the gopis were doing. So yeah, that's just a little bit about the gopis. Again, I don't know so much, but just whatever research I've done on my own, heard from others. I also wanted to talk a little bit about Krishna's flute, which is the primary topic of this chapter. There's a nice description in the Krishna book where the Prabhupada is actually glorifying Mother Nature in such a beautiful way. He's describing that the lakes and rivers are the mothers for the trees because the trees are just simply drinking the water. I always felt I had a love for nature, but the way Prabhupada describes it in his books totally, transcends any kind of the way he just described it is so incredible. But the part I was mentioning was the gopis were wondering how this little piece of bamboo was able to obtain the great boon of being played by Krishna, and they're basically saying like, oh, these lips, they belong to us, like how, what's this little bamboo piece of wood, how has it become, held by the Supreme Lord, and he's blowing his nectar into the flute. And I just thought the part was really amazing because they're describing that, like, the bamboo is almost a personality. And we often hear that everything in the spiritual world has a personality. And yeah, Krishna's flute. I was asking Harishram Prabhu about this last night. I said, "How we were just taught. We were driving on the way back from our college program, on our way to Sankalpa Prabhu's house, and we were just saying like how wonderful it would be to someday hear Krishna's flute." And that's a sincere desire that I have. And he said, "Well, just go on serving your guru, and someday just keep praying to Krishna." But I was thinking in my own heart, if I just somehow kindle this desire. For me, it's actually enough for me to just carry out my devotional service. Like someday I'll be able to hear Krishna's flute. How beautiful that must be. Yeah, on this topic about flutes, Janmasmi Prabhu, you might note this. There's a really respected devotee, Prabhupada disciple named Dasarath Prabhu, Dasarath Sutta Das Prabhu. He makes flutes. And he's been in ISKCON for many, many, many years. And commonly you'll see him sitting outside festivals with a whole table of flutes that he made by hand and crafted them. And I had his association for some time. And he's kind of a pundit. He is a pundit. He knows many languages. He can read Sanskrit. He's really far out. They call him the mad scientist of bhakti. But I had his association for some time. I helped him. The mad scientist of bhakti. He's far out, really tall, like crazy hair, really ecstatic. He was on the Radha Damodar party with Vishnu Janaswamy. But I was just really, I felt very fortunate to have his association in an intimate way. And I myself, somehow or other, started to learn how to play flutes and make flutes. So I had his association, and we got to go out into like the bamboo thickets, and he had these like funny axes and tools that he would carry with him, and they would make all these sound effects. And I just remember being in Florida with him, and he was living in Alachua at the time, and he spent most of his time just translating, reading, doing other services. But I would go to his trailer where he was staying, and we would get together, and he would get out his tools and his burners, and he would show me how to make flutes. Just I was like really amazed. It was like so much fun, and it was such a devotional activity. And he would just sell these flutes to people who were sincere, if devotees wanted them. And you could tell he wasn't trying to make money from the people. He just wanted them to play the flute. And I remember seeing him one day sitting in front of the deities, and he had a whole assortment of flutes set out. And he also had like a guitar that he was playing, but just to see him express his love and devotion to the deities through sound. I mean, anyone who's been playing any instrument for a number of years, they have a certain way of expressing their love through that instrument. And just to, someone who's been practicing 30, 40, 50 years, incredible. So I can only imagine what Krishna's flute sounds like. I can't imagine, actually. I can't even pretend, but someday maybe I'll be able to hear that beautiful sound. So anyways, yeah, I didn't have so much time to prepare. Subal Prabhu asked me yesterday evening to speak about the Bhagavatam. So I spoke about Vani and Vapu. And I also spoke about the gopis, the residents of Vrindavan. And I also talked a little about Krishna's flute. Apologize if I said anything offensive or incorrect. Please forgive me if so. If there are any reflections or questions or comments, anything you liked, anything you didn't like, anything you'd like to share. It's kind of short. Mataji?
You stated right in the beginning of the class that the instruction is what allows one to follow the instructions. So I was just going to ask you if you'd like to elaborate a little on that.
I can only speak from my limited experience. I'm just now approaching a guru and developing a relationship with him, Vaisheshika Prabhu. But I've often heard that the empowerment is within the instruction itself. So if we just somehow or other meditate on the instruction, I seemingly enough for me personally, I like going out on Sankirtan and meeting people and distributing books. And to me itself, that's where the test will come to one's sincerity and one's knowledge of the scriptures. So that's a simple instruction that we've been given to study and to sell Srila Prabhupada's books. And that itself is an instruction, and if we follow the instruction in a sincere way, then we can receive the mercy of the guru, and by receiving the mercy of the guru, one can basically have complete fulfillment. Yeah, I would say that, yeah, the Vani is really the instructions of the spiritual master should be our life and soul. I think it said in somewhere in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that the secret to success is basically carrying out the orders of the guru or the spiritual master. It's the secret to success. So if one wants a successful life, just listen to the guru. Guru Parampara. Thank you. Sorry, it's somewhat of a limited realization. Anybody else? Dachinder Prabhu, any? Sure. Thank you. Janmasmi Prabhu, anything? Yeah, anything you'd like to share, any reflection or thoughts you have? Or... Usually we have two mics.
You are saying how we should make the order of the spiritual master one with our heart and soul. And this is something that Prabhupada, when he was reading Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on, was it 241, Vivyashyatmika Buddhir Ekiha Kuru Nandana? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that in his commentary, that this is what Vivyashyatmika Buddhi means. To make the order of the spiritual master one with his heart and soul. So Prabhupada demonstrated that, and he was just so focused, no matter what, he just kept going, like for years and years and years. He got the instruction right when he first met Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and he built his whole devotional life around this. And look at what happened. So this is, you know, this is a strong evidence of the potency of making the order of the spiritual master one with his heart and soul. I think that's the prominent reference, you know, in that regard. And you know how. And then the demonstration of that, the efficacy of doing that is Prabhupada's life. He was able to accomplish because he did that in such a profound way. Every thought, every action was just built around that instruction to spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. And even his going back to India, he had so much in mind, you know, how he could build temples and dams that would inspire his Western devotees. His Western devotees very intricately involved with the planning and the construction. And so it's pretty amazing, you know, how you can go to Mayapur and access so much of Lord Chaitanya's mercy and in Vrindavan. Vrindavan, it's so helter-skelter there now because all of this Delhi money's going in, there's these candles all over the place, and Bollywood music. But still, there's this sacred shelter. Like, I always chant my rounds in Prabhupada's quarters, because it's just so intimate. But his example and his instructions are just so empowering for all of us if we take it seriously.
I'm Kirtan Prabhu.
I guess I just wanted to, I was also thinking too that, you know, many people would glorify Prabhupada, like, you've done so many wonderful things, and you've started so many temples, and initiated so many disciples. And Prabhupada said, if I have taken any credit, is that I've strictly followed the orders of my spiritual master. So Prabhupada showed this in his own life, as Jen Masmi was saying so nicely, that, you know, Prabhupada had met his first encounter with a spiritual master. The spiritual master said, you're a very intelligent young man, and you should spread these teachings, Lord Chaitanya. And just from that one meeting, he took that so sincere within his heart. And even at the age of, you know, 69, 70 years old, you know, starting a worldwide mission that no other Vaishnava had ever done before, and spread the glories of Lord Chaitanya and Krishna all over the world, is, you know, quite an amazing thing. And he still continues to do so. It's interesting that, you know, Prabhupada was just saying that I just followed the orders of my spiritual master, and then all the success was there. So, mm-hmm. I think that was a good point that you were talking about the orders of the spiritual master. It's a very relevant point that for many of us too, if we just try to follow the instructions of Prabhupada and our spiritual master, then all success can actually be there.
Again and again, I'll just keep hearing Srila Prabhupada's story, and I'll just experience, like, great love. It's just so amazing, really, the whole story. It's just so amazing. I was thinking about one thing when Jamas Prabhu was speaking. Gurudas Prabhu, a senior devotee, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, I was reading one of his books, and I think the book is called... By his example, and it's a lot of his intimate exchanges with Prabhupada in the early days. Such an amazing book. He had so much association with Prabhupada. He was riding with Srila Prabhupada in a car entering into Vrindavan for the very first time, and he felt this, like, overwhelming sense of, like, perfection. He was like, wow, I'm going to Vrindavan, the land of Krishna. I'm going there with my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. And he was anticipating Srila Prabhupada to say something. And he was like, oh, he'll say something very esoteric, you know, some shloka, something. And they're just riding along in the car, entering Vrindavan. And Prabhupada doesn't speak for some time. And he just utters one word. Prabhupada says cement or concrete. And, you know, he thought he was going to talk about the gopis or, you know, something from the Brahma Samhita or something. But he was explaining Srila Prabhupada's practical mood of just making sure the devotees had places to stay, you know. He was meditating on concrete. And Gurudas Prabhu described Srila Prabhupada's voice as being like gravel coated with honey. I just thought that was really cool. I've always loved listening, hearing Srila Prabhupada's voice, gravel coated with honey. Anyways, thank you for all for attending, and thank you for your reflections. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Manchakalpa Vibhushakripa Sindhu Vivacha Pithanam Pavli Vaishnavi.